What up, people? It's your boy, the host with the most. I do not brag or boast, and I'm coming to you guys live from coast to coast. It's your boy. I'm Chris the Don One, and welcome to another fabulous rendition of Everybody Hates Chris, episode 207. How you living? I'm living swell. Feel free. Be sure to hit the subscription button, the notification bell. Share this podcast with your friends, family, and followers. Let's get this podcast lit in the podcast algorithm. You heard me. Today's episode is going to be called The Addams Family in the Hood. All right. So basically, this was back in the day in my childhood, and I thought this would be a great story for you guys to, you know, follow along. All right. So basically, I live in the South, and this, and there's a such thing as the South, the Dirty South, and the Backwoods of the South. And this family obviously came from the backwoods of the South. All right. So before I get into the stories, this family, there was this guy. Clifford, it was Faye, and it was Waterbell. All right. Waterbell was the mother, Faye was the daughter, and Clifford was Waterbell's son. So Clifford, from what I gather from Clifford, and you got to understand, back in the era I came from school, you know, we didn't have all these labels and pronouns and things of that nature. We did have, you know, like if you had special needs, or if we called them special. They had their own classrooms. They go to school early and they get out of school early. Now, we used to call it DO9. And you got to understand, when we was kids, you know, we didn't have no filter we didn't have a filter. We just said whatever came out of our mouths. But, you know, we didn't call them crazy. We just called them special. They were just a little special, okay? So Clifford was considered one of the special kids. And from what I gathered from Clifford, Clifford could, you know, identify me very well than anyone else in the school, because, you know, I wasn't prejudiced to Clifford. I didn't, embarrass him or call him names or anything like that. He just felt real comfortable around me. But I, from my perspective, Clifford was a normal kid. It's just his social skills were not that good. He gets very quiet, very nervous around people. But after a while, when Clifford, starts being around you long enough, he'll open up. He's just a slow learner. But this guy was the smartest guy in the school. But I think it was his social skills. But nevertheless, the school thought that it would be best for Clifford to put him in this special class. Now, Faye was his sister. Faye was okay, but none of the girls didn't associate with Faye. Faye didn't really have any friends, just like Clifford. He didn't have any friends. But every once in a while, if I'm talking to Clifford, Faye will come around. Now, the thing about Faye was her body odor, all right? She smells like hot piss, all right? Like she just woke up out of a pissy bed, put on her Sunday best, her school clothes, and then just come straight to school. And she just reeked of urine, all right? And, you know, a lot of kids called her the pissy girl, this, that, and the third. And she, you know, would be alienated from the rest of the school. But, you know, she would occasionally hang around Clifford. And when she see me talk to Clifford, she'll come and talk to me. You know, me as a child and as a kid, I just welcome everybody. I didn't care of your nationality. I didn't care of your skin color. I didn't care of your religious preference or anything like that. If I feel like you're cool and, you know, you don't have an ego, then you're cool with me. You're good, like good food. All right. So they were the only two people that I knew in the special class. Now, I knew there was other children in the special class. I just only knew them two. All right. So their mother is named Waterbell. I don't know Waterbell's real name. Still to this day, as an adult, I still don't know who the hell is Waterbell. All right. I just knew in the hood, we all called her Waterbell. All right. For some strange reason. All right. So there was a lot of urban legends, a lot of stories about this family. And one of the urban legends were that they put padlocks on their phones as well as their refrigerator. All right. That was an urban legend. Another urban legend was not only they put padlocks on their phones and in their refrigerators, they even put a padlock on their main restroom. And that probably explains why Faye would always come to school with a pissy smell, okay? Or she's just allergic to water. I don't know, okay? But there was a lot of weird, strange rumors. I have never been in their house, and I didn't know of any child that went into their house. But those are the urban legends. Those are the urban stories that come from their household. So I can remember this like it was yesterday. We're all in the library, right? And occasionally, like certain classrooms would have a day where a certain classroom would be connected to this, to the special classroom, like PE, like the special kids get to interact with, you know, the kids in school, or like in the library, or like in the lunchroom. And parents and teachers were commending these programs because they felt like, you know, having the special kids just isolated from the school population was not going to be very beneficial for them, particularly when they get out of school, because, you know, let's just face facts. When they go out into the real world, there's not like two different hospitals, one hospital for the regular people, another hospital for the special people. All right. Well, I take that lie back. They call that hospital the crazy house. But I'm just saying, like, if you want to go to the clinic, you know, they're not going to have two different clinics. Or if you want to go to a gym, they got two different gyms. One for the normal people and the other one for the special people. Okay. That, you know, so occasionally they would have a classroom and have a special classroom in the same room. And they had my classroom and Clifford's special classroom on one of our book report days. And book report day, we have to go to the library. All right. And in the library, you go in there and you do a book report on whatever book that you see in the library, and you have to do a book report on it. Now, you can also take the book home if you like. So I'm in there reading my book, you know, jotting down some notes and things of that nature, because I didn't want to take this book home, because I didn't want to be responsible for this book. All right. Because, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I'd be cool with something, I throw it to the side, and then I'll never see it again. All right. And I know I didn't want to get my ass beat by my mom or my dad if I lose this book, because I'm subject to lose anything that's not important to me at that particular time, you know. So I kind of wanted to write notes and use the notes as, you know, to do the book report when I take it home. So Clifford was walking around trying to find a seat. Nobody in my classroom wanted to sit with Clifford. They would make excuses. Oh, I'm saving this seat for somebody else. Oh, we don't have enough room, yada, yada, yada. So he's going through all this He sees me, and then instantly he goes straight to my table and he just sits down. He don't even ask if it's okay to sit down, because he know I'm not going to, you know, treat him like the other children. So he goes down, sit down. I'm reading my book. He's reading his book. You know, my book had plenty of pictures in my book. Clifford had a novel. All right. Clifford's book was three times the size of my book. All right. But like I said, Clifford's a smart dude. So I'm up there reading. Next thing I know, I keep hearing these weird noises. And I just thought that Clifford was hungry. You know, when you're hungry, your stomach makes those growls like it wants to eat something. So that's what I thought it was. Come to find out, Clifford was up there. He had the BGs, the bubble guts. All right. This man is passing gas, farting everywhere. Now, I heard the noises, and then later on, I started to, you know, smell. You know, I started smelling the farts. All right. So Clifford walked up to me. Clifford slowly maneuvered his chair close to me. And he whispered, and he said, "I gotta go use the restroom." I said, "Nope, it's no big deal, Clifford. Just get up and go use the restroom." "Yeah, but I gotta get permission." I said, "You really, you know, just let the teacher know, let the librarian know that you're gonna go use the restroom. It's not a big deal, Clifford." And as children, we simplify everything in our heads. And when later on I found out, and I already knew this, Clifford was not a sociable person. Clifford didn't like to interact with other people while there's other people in the room. He's very shy, he's very nervous. And yeah, I guess I could have went to the librarian or went to the teacher or went to his teacher and said, "Hey, yo, Clifford got to go use the restroom." And I know for a fact they would have said, "No big deal. You know, tell Clifford to go use the restroom." But, you know, as a kid, you don't even think that far. All right. You just think of the first thing that comes in your head. So I'm like, "Yo, Clifford's not a big deal. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to big him up. Like, it's no big deal. Just go tell the teacher." So I'm back reading my book, and I just hear a bunch of whining and crying, and I look up, and it's Clifford, and Clifford got tears coming down his face and everything. I'm like, "I said, Clifford, why are you crying?" Okay, now to get a ideal of who Clifford was like 260 pounds. This man is like 6'4". Okay. This man was tall and big. Imagine seeing a tall, bald-headed dude or kid crying at the table in the library. And I'm going like, "Clifford is not a real big deal." And then he said, "I've been trying to hold it, but I can't hold it no more." I said, "What you talking about, Clifford? Why would you hold it? Just go to the restroom." And then Clifford said out loud, this is the first time I ever heard Clifford scream or said something out loud where everybody in the library even heard it. Clifford said, "I'm sorry." And he just crapped everywhere. He's sitting in the chair crapping everywhere. It's crap everywhere. Everybody is just going, everybody's running away from Clifford like Clifford had COVID, all right? There's crap coming down his pants. You can see crap prints all on the back of his goddamn jeans. He's crapping everywhere. Crap coming out of his shoes. Crapola. It's just crapola, all right? Everybody's going, everybody's running. All the kids are running out of the library like they were scared that this stuff was going to get on them. The teachers were, you know, the teachers looked around. It took them a minute to figure out that Clifford was just crapping everywhere. His teacher walked up to him and said, "It's not a big deal, Clifford. Don't worry about it. Accidents, you know, we all make accidents." Clifford is crying like a toddler, okay? And, you know, as a kid, you don't develop the compassion as a kid. And I just stood there. I was just froze. All I can do is just look at Clifford. Then I look at the crap on the ground. I look up and look at Clifford. I look at the crap on the ground. I was so froze. And I should have been more supportive of Clifford. But, you know, I don't view Clifford as a friend of us or an associate. But I have compassion for anybody. But as a kid, you just don't develop those things. So that was one of the stories of the Addams Family in the hood. All right. Another story with this exact same family. There was this guy by the name of Jimmy. And Jimmy was this tall dude, can play basketball, but he was left behind a couple of times. But this guy can burn you with jokes. I mean, this guy, once he sees you, and if you wear like any discount shoes, or if you got holes in your pants, or if your shirt is two sizes too small, it's got wrinkles in them, he's going to destroy you, okay? So Jimmy, you know, would, and this is a day, I mean, this is also a time as a child, you start to develop things that you didn't develop in your previous grades. And this is when I discovered peer pressure. And peer pressure is a real thing, all right? And Jimmy would peer pressure all of us into doing things we didn't want to do, all right? And when he would get on Clifford and Faye, he would stay on them. Nobody would defend them. Jimmy was Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Jamie Foxx, all wrapped into one. This man had jokes for days. When he would dish rag you, he would dish rag you, all right? So when Jimmy found out that Clifford's mama was named Waterbell, he had everyone in the classroom. And you have to understand, he had everyone in the classroom singing the Waterbell song, all right? Even the teacher. And the teacher just lost control of the classroom because of Jimmy. He just let Jimmy do whatever he wants to do. If Jimmy wants to interrupt class, he'll let Jimmy interrupt class for like 5 or 10 minutes, and then he'll get back into whatever he was teaching us. But anyway, Jimmy would sing the Waterbell song, and he would make all of us sing the Waterbell song. And I did not want to sing the Waterbell song because that's just so disrespectful to Clifford's mom. So he would literally sing. He'd say, "Okay, he'll go 1, 2, 3, a water, water, water bell, a water," and then we'll go, "A water, water, water bell, a water, water, water bell," and we'll go, "A water, water, water bell, a water, water, water bell," and then we'll go, "Water, water, water bell, water, water, water bell, water, water, water bell, water bell, look like Gargamel. Water bell look like Gargamel. Water, water, water bell. Water, 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 water. Water bell kind of smells. Water bell kind of smells. Water, water, water bell. Water, water, water bell. Water bell smells like hell. Water bell smells like hell." I mean, he would go on and on and on with this song. It would irritate Clifford to the masses, okay? But Clifford would never challenge him. He would never give him mean mug or mean looks or anything like that. He would just keep it inside, okay? Another thing that irritated Clifford is Faye. Now, Faye, like I said, she's an average-looking girl, but Faye had body odor, okay? She had extreme body odor, okay? Faye, to me, it seemed like Faye wakes up every morning out of a pissy bed, put on her Sunday best, her school clothes, just put them on without even taking a bath, shower, or wash up, bird bath, just skips the restroom entirely. I don't know if Faye was allergic to water, but she was not allergic to urine, all right? And she would come to school like a piss factory. Like, she's been pissing all night long, and she just slept in piss. She just, her whole body is marinated in piss, all right? Woke up, put her school clothes on, bypassed the sink, and just went straight to school. Faye would smell like piss, all right? I have smelled piss before, but I have never smelt it that strong off of Faye, all right? I was so scared if someone would have lit a match, Faye would be set on fire, okay? But anyway, all the females would just isolate from Faye, all right? And Faye was older than Clifford. And when I was a sophomore, Faye was a senior. And you know what happens on your last day of high school? It's the prom, right? All the girls had guys to take them out to the prom, all right? All the popular girls were going to the prom. The last minute girls who got last minute dates was going to the prom. Faye, there was no takers for Faye. No takers for Faye. So it was one day and this is the first time I have ever seen Clifford out and about in the hood. Because normally the only time I see Clifford was in school. When we get into the projects, I would never see Clifford again until we go back to school. Anyway, saw him. He was walking down the sidewalk. He saw me. And this is the first time he said, "Hey, Chris, come." That's the first time he ever called for me. Normally, he'll just walk up to me. So I'm like, "What's up, Cliff? What you doing? I ain't never seen, is it a holiday? Is it your birthday? This is the first time I ever seen you walking in the hood." So we start talking. And then Clifford tells me that Faye wants to go to the prom. And, like I said, as kids and as teens, you're not even thinking, okay? I'm thinking, okay, she's going to go to the prom by herself. She's going to get her dress, and she's just going to go to the prom. No big deal. And I'm going like, yeah, okay, that's great. Faye is going to the prom by herself. She shouldn't, I'm talking to Clifford. She shouldn't not go to the prom if she can't find a date. So what? She can go to the prom. If she wants to go to the prom by herself, that's her prerogative, okay? Women's empowerment, woo, 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 okay? So Clifford said, no guys are going to ask her to the prom. And, me being her brother, I was going to take her to the prom, but, that would have been weird. And I co-signed that. I said, yeah, that's extremely weird. And he said, "Chris, I consider you a friend. You always, been there for me. I really haven't been there for Clifford. I just, when certain things happen in Clifford's life, I was just there. Okay. But however, tomato, tomato, it doesn't matter. So I'm like, yeah, okay. He said, "I need a favor from you. Can you take my sister to the prom?" Okay. And I look back at Clifford and I said, that's one tall order. And that's one big favor you asking me. Because me and Faye have never talked before. Only time I see or smell Faye, it was in school. And occasionally when I'm talking to Clifford, Faye comes walking around walking to us like a wet puppy. Okay. So I don't know anything about Faye. So I'm like, all right, But I'm a sophomore. I'm trying to make excuses why I can't take her to the prom. Well, I'm a sophomore. I thought seniors can only go to the prom. Yeah, she's a senior and she can invite anybody to the prom. So you don't have to be a senior to go to the prom. I'm like, damn. Okay. I don't have any money for a tuxedo. No big deal. We have a tuxedo at home. My father had. It's old, but I think it can fit you. I'm going like, God damn. I gotta go to work. And then he goes, when did you start working? Because you normally just be around. I mean, I ran out of all the ideals. I said, all right, I'm going to take Faith to the prom. All right. But I'm not wearing your father's tuxedo. Okay. Because urban legend has it that was the same outfit your mom buried your father in. And I'm not wearing a tuxedo that has possibly been used for a funeral. I'm not wearing a dead man's tuxedo. Okay. So I said, all right. So I went to this shop. You can rent a tuxedo. My mom thought it was a courageous thing to do. My dad didn't have a horse in the race. He didn't care one iota. And then I bought the tuxedo. And then I came up with the perfect excuse. Should have thought about it before I said yes to her. All right. The perfect excuse was, I don't have a car. So how can I take Faye to the car, take her to the prom if I don't have a car? I'm like, this is genius. Why didn't I think of this sooner? Okay. I'm willing to waste money on this tuxedo to never wear this tuxedo, as long as I don't have to take Faye to the prom. All right. So I said, I'm not even going to lay it on him right now. I'm going to wait till we get on the bus, or wait till we go to school, and then I'm going to lay it on. And then I'm practicing my looks in the mirror. I feel sorry, but I can't, because I'm up here practicing my lines, how I was going to say it. So it was the day after. Saw Clifford in school. And I just walked up to him, shaking my head. And Clifford said, what's wrong? What's wrong? Oh, man, I got some bad news. I wish I would have thought of this before I wasted money on that tuxedo and asked your sister to the prom. Got some bad news, bro. Bad news. What's up? I just realized I don't have a freaking car. So how can I take Faye to the prom if I don't have a car? And then he had his head down, and I thought he was going to be in agreement with me. I'm going like, yeah, this is foolproof. He can't talk his way out of this. He's going to say, oh, that's too bad. Well, maybe next year, I'll tell my sister that you can't take her to the prom. I'm thinking he's thinking all that. He had his head down for a second, lifted his head up and said, oh, it's no big deal. My mom rented a limo. And I went, say what? Yeah, my mom got rented a limo, and the limo driver is going to take you and Faye to the prom. I'm going like, where in the hell do your mom, how do your mom have this type of money? Okay. If she's padlocking the phone in the refrigerator and the restroom, how in the world she got this type of money? Is your mom rich? Is she a millionaire that's living in the hood? Is she the Bruce Wayne of the hood? Okay. Anywho, couldn't get out of it. All right. Day of the prom, man, it just seemed like the countdown to the prom, the days were going super fast. I don't know if Jesus had it in for me, like he wanted to rush to see how this was going to play out. Anyway, night of the prom, got my tuxedo on. I had to get a corsage for Faye. She told me the colors that she was going to have on her dress. I bought that. I'm up here walked, and they said that, hey, we'll call you and let you know when we pull up. They called. They said, well, we're out here waiting on you. And I was walking to the limo, dead man walking. Dead man walking. I had that dead man walking walk. And I was going like, man, I don't want to go to the prom. I do not want to go to the prom with Faye. All right. So I opened the door. And when I opened the door, it was like, who in the hell is this woman? This girl that I'm looking. Faye was all dolled up. She had makeup. Her hair was laid. She was in the most beautiful dress I have ever seen in my life. She had titties out to the yin yang. Jesus Christ. I didn't even know Faye had a rack like that. Okay. And the ass was plump. Even sitting down, I knew that ass was big. Okay. And I'm going like, Jesus Christ. All right. This may be a blessing in disguise. So I'm up here, you know, we go to the dance, and it's at this hotel, a banquet place. We go to this dance, you know, I see all my friends, they up there laughing. They say like, you know, he's taking Faye to the prom. He's taking Faye to the prom. And when Faye got out of the limo, all eyes were on me. And all that dish ragging and joking and the snapping with your fingers under the table, that stuff disappeared. And everybody going like, man, you know, I'm impressed. Okay. So much so that the females at the prom was going, is that Pissy Faye? Pissy Faye looks good. From that day on, she was popular. Even after the prom, the girls started to be around Faye like flies to sugar. Okay, so we're up there dancing, you know, socializing. I turned to find out that Faye, I mean, I like her conversation, I like her game. So we went out, and whoa. Okay, so we was at the banquet, and I was planning on taking her to the restaurant. And I'm up here, you know, getting, you know, being doing gentleman stuff, you know, getting her some punch and stuff like that. Well, my friend walked up and he said, yo, I heard you were smashing Faye. I'm like, what? What? I was like, Scooby-Doo. I'm like, when did that happen? I don't remember that. So he said, yeah, Faye's running around here telling all the, telling everybody that y'all two done already smashed. And I'm like, no, we didn't. Okay. And all the girls, she told all the girls in school on the bus that me and her were smashing. She also said that we're together. You know, Chris is not available. Because there was a couple of girls I wanted to bang in high school before I graduated out of high school. All right. So now you, on your last year of high school, just destroyed the final 2 years of my high school by, you know, saying that. Okay. I was mad as hell at Faye. I gave her punch. I didn't say nothing. I was quiet. And, after the prom, she said, so what we're going to go eat at? And I was so teed off at Faye that I cut my own nose to spite my face. I said, you know what? Let's just go straight home. She's thinking that I'm going to take her home and I'm going to smash her there. Oh, no. I was going to go home and just leave her there. So she said, call me. Let me know when I can go upstairs. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. Dude, I got in that house, slammed that door, locked the door, went upstairs, took that tuxedo off. Wash the stench of prom off of me, and I went to bed. And, you know, I forgot that I even went to the prom. Now, legend had it that she was sitting in the car for like 30 minutes, and then she finally left. She called, but I never picked up the phone. And she also found out why I was ticked off. and she stayed away from me for like 3 or 4 days. So yeah, I'm going like, I'm telling my boys, like, I'm trying to clear this up. I'm going like, yeah, man, me and Faye, we never, you know, we never did anything. We didn't have sex, or we didn't get, that's not my girlfriend and shit like that. And this is the moment where I cut my nose to spite my face. And my friends were telling me, what difference does it make? You was going to actually get some from Faye. And Faye made a huge impression at the prom that she's now the it girl. Now she's socializing with all the it girls there. And I'm going like, I should have thought this through. Remember I said earlier, as kids, we don't really think everything all the way through. Just imagine if I would have smashed Faye that night. Okay? Faye would have went to school and talked about how fabulous I was, how long this summer sausage is, and I could have had instant contact with all the other popular girls. But it didn't go down that way. She told what actually happened, and now I get a bad reputation, and I'm, you know, and I had to, and pretty much I have to start all over again to build my reputation and build my trust with the popular girls that are in my graduation, you know, class. And man, it looked, I mean, if I had to do it all over again, I would definitely do things different. Okay. But hindsight being 50-50, it is what it is. It happened. Everything happens for a reason. And I got more stories to tell you how that really didn't, you know, hurt me like I thought it was going to hurt me. And the funny thing about it was, Faye done graduated. You know, okay, I was a sophomore and I took Faye to graduation. Then I became a junior. And in my junior year, I started reminiscing like, damn, I should have smashed Faye. All right. I saw Faye even after school. You know, after when I graduated, I still wanted to smash Faye. Faye was like a crossing guard. Okay. She was a crossing guard in the hood, and she would be wearing these blue booty pants, and them pants were, man, that ass was fat. And every time I see Faye, I just be looking at her and going, damn, I could have been in them cheeks. And every time Faye sees me, she goes, yeah, you could have been in these cheeks. I tried. I apologized. I told her that I was a fool. Man, I was doing my best Keith Sweat to Faye, but Faye was not having it, okay? She was not having it. She was not going to give me an opportunity to get up in them cheeks, all right? But that is a story you can learn from, all right? Take your opportunities and take your blessings as they happen. Don't think that there's something better down the road, because 9 times out of 10, there's nothing better than the opportunity that you have in front of you. So take your opportunities, take your blessings, all right? And like it's your last, okay? And man, that was a wild, wild story that I'm pretty sure some of you guys are laughing at me. It doesn't matter if you're laughing with me or laughing at me, long as you, and I'm pretty sure there's some people out there that learned a thing or two from that story. I'm just telling you guys, pay attention to these stories and don't make the same mistakes I made. All right. So that wraps up episode 207, the Adams Family from the Hood. I hope you guys thoroughly enjoyed that. Please, as always, rate, comment, subscribe, share this podcast with your friends, family, and followers. Let's get this podcast lit in the podcast algorithm. I need your guys' help and support as far as also subscribing to my Spotify podcast. Now, you can subscribe there. You can still listen to the episodes there. But if you like listening to these episodes on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast indulgement, that's fine. And Danny, just please be sure to subscribe to me on Spotify. Okay, the links are in the description below. It's your boy, the host with the most. I do not brag or boast. And I'm coming to you guys live from coast to coast. Episode 207 of Everybody Hates Chris. I will see you guys next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Every Thursday, we be in heavy rotation. I'll see you guys later. I'm out of here. Deuces.